Let's go. This is Hacker Voice Radio, and that was Cataclysm. We're streaming live, finally, on the 9th of August, 2005. Hopefully, without any more problems.
Here's hoping.
Sorry?
Here's hoping.
Yeah, I am hoping. There were some weird kind of things going on before, but hopefully it's all over. Cool. Let's start from the beginning, I guess.
Right.
We lost about, I don't know, 20 minutes of
ranting.
Ranting and raving. A few topics we kind of chose today are ID cards and RFID in everything. You know, starting from your anus to... to your license plates.
And we don't mean the planet.
No, exactly. you know, you've got your Oyster card, which tracks where you've been for the last 10 trips, and I guess it's all stored in their database. And very soon, you're going to have your car tracked to, you know, every journey you make and everything like that. So. I think I should leave that to Planet to explain, because I'm not too with it, but there we go.
Well, it is only something I read about today. It was on Wired.com. They've got an article on there, which basically says there's pretty soon going to be a pilot scheme in the UK that they're about to launch. And what they're going to be doing is putting microchips and RFID trackers into license plates. So anywhere your car goes, once they find a way of tracking it and putting up some kind of base stations and towers and shit like that that can basically log the information, then wherever you go will be logged somewhere onto a database. It's mainly going to be used in the beginning to run the London congestion charge, because what happens at the minute, they've got something which is, I believe, has been nicknamed the Ring of Steel around London.
Yeah. And the moat.
The moat, is that what it is? Yeah. It's a load of cameras, basically, with license plate recognition on them, into all the main access points in London. I think even some of the non-main ones as well.
Yeah.
And it basically just does automatic recognition of the characters on your license plate, and then it logs whether or not you're in London. It checks to see if you've paid your congestion charges. And if you've not, you get a photograph of your car going into London, the time and date, and a fine automatically. So what they're going to be doing is just using the automatic RFID trackers to see where people go.
Yeah.
Now, then, if that works, they're going to bring it out of London. And the article did say that if this works in the UK, they're going to bring it over to the US. Something they do want to do over there is whenever foreign overseas trucks and things like that turn up, they put on a new license plate on them so they can track them, basically.
Ooh, nice.
Trust them, anyone outside the States, as far as they can fucking throw them. So they want to know exactly where they've been, where they're going, all kinds of shit like that.
Yeah.
The just to repeat the story I did before, that we lost in the original.
Sorry.
No, it's all right. It's a good story. I don't actually know any of the details on it because it was just told to me today.
Yeah.
I've got to really look it up. But there was a woman, probably still is. And
was.
I don't know. She got bumped off by the FBI, the MI5, Gosnifus. Now, what happened to her was all of a sudden she started getting a lot of parking fines and traffic violations, automatic traffic violations sent to her through the mail, automatic fines and so on, congestion charges from London, and it really was a lot. And she wasn't even anywhere near there. She didn't live in London and had no business to go there if wanted. So they send out all these automatic fines, and what they basically say is you can either pay us and we'll shut up, or you can see us in court.
Yeah.
You see us in court, you're going to pay for the privilege of us being there, all the court costs, plus the original fine, plus probably anything else we want to tack on top. So it's a very much more expensive option if you want to actually fight for your rights.
Yeah.
Thank God she did. Because she goes into court and they really talk down to her, and they got their lawyers there and they're saying, no, we've got the facts, we've got the proof, we've got pictures of your car in this area.
Well, they did have a lot to lose if they were wrong.
Yeah, yeah, true.
Yeah.
I think they're just doing it to make a point, really.
Sure.
You know, that if you do stand up and fight it, then they will crush you.
Yeah.
If they can. Now, what it was, she was absolute 100% certain she'd never been in any of these places. She wasn't doing all this stuff. They really just took the piss out of her in court, really talked down to her. So she gathered all the evidence and started plotting where each of these fines and congestion charges were appearing. And she found them all in just one small area.
Right.
So what she actually did was go down there herself and start looking around the area, just park the car, walking around, looking at all the other cars, checking out the license plates. Because what had actually happened is someone had faked a license plate that matched hers.
Right.
So they were then driving all around, getting speeding tickets from the automatic cameras, getting parking fines, getting all kinds of stuff. And then they write down the license plate, they check it up on the DVLA database and says, well, this license plate is actually licensed to this woman, send the fine to her. So they did. Now, she eventually found this car just parked there in the road.
Right.
So what she did was park her car right next to it and start taking pictures of the pair of them. So then she turned up in court again, said, look, you know, I've got no evidence, here you go, a shitload of photographs. Now either I'm seeing double, or your sister's a piece of crap, because someone's exploited it, and now you're cracking down on me. You know, so the main point.
She owned them.
Yeah, owned. The main point that I did want to make was that it's fucking terrifying to me, at least, when the government rush to implement these new systems. They sound all very well and good on the service. You know that it's only going to target people who actually use in London and stuff like this. But it's got such an obvious flaw in it that they haven't thought it through. They've implemented it. Mm. They've started dishing out fines left, right and centre. You know, and they're taking people to court, innocent people, who have to prove their innocence rather than their guilt. Guilt is just assumed because of these systems.
Yeah. They assume, from what they see, that you know,
it's flawless,
exactly,
and it can't possibly be a mistake.
Yeah.
At the minute, what it is photographs. At least then you've got some kind of evidence that says, look, here's a photograph of the car, we've automatically recognised the license plate. Get out of that. But this is just fake license plates. Who's doing it? If they put in the microchips into the license plates, then they won't even have that level of evidence. They'll just have a computer log that says, you showed up on our system at this point, at this time, therefore you incurred these charges, these fines, violations, whatever. And how are you going to prove that you didn't do it? You know, who's to say that your microchip has been copied onto another microchip that's been put on a different car?
Yeah.
And been driven all around the country.
Definitely.
How the hell would you prove that?
You can't, unless you're... I really do like the systems that are being introduced, and I think it would be a much fairer system if you were able to track everyone and say, you use this much amount of road, this is how much you will pay for that, instead of everyone paying the same. And, you know, people that don't use their cars too often don't have to pay as much. But saying that, it's going to be really messed up because the system is not open to everyone. It would be much better if the whole database was an open source database so everyone could check their own records and see if that's right. And was I on that day? Did I drive that day? Where's my car? Sort of thing. Has my car been stolen? You can see where your car has been. You know, if it has been stolen, you can immediately cancel that transaction or whatever, if you see what I mean. Instead of being...
Yeah, you can shut it down pretty much straight away.
Exactly. Instead of, you know, 2 months down the line getting a bill for £500 for something you haven't done and then having to spend the rest of, you know, a good while trying to fight the courts into, you know, to see it your way, because that's going to be really bad. And also, everyone will be able to buy that database. I assume all the other corporations would want to pick out, see which cars are being driven where, at what times, to be able to advertise better.
Yeah, I'm sure there'll be some whole kind of marketing angle on it. You know, you've spent the last 40 hours, the last week in this area.
Yeah.
We're going to mouse shot you with all the stuff on the local area, theatres.
Yeah, exactly.
And shit like that. Stuff about tracking your car and having it, being able to shut it down, check your own information.
Mm.
That would be pretty cool if they did open up the database straight away.
Yeah.
First of all, they won't.
No.
but also, there is currently a system that works that doesn't need us to be tracked.
Right.
Careful. And that's, your car gets stolen, you call the police.
Exactly.
And you tell them, you say, hello, police, where the fucking hell is my car gone?
Yeah.
It was here on the driveway, now it's put it on. And anything after that date, you've reported it stolen.
Yeah.
You know, kind of washed your hands of all responsibility for what it does after that. It's nothing to do with you. You know, someone's taken it away.
Definitely.
So any fines or anything after the time you report it, when it's logged, shouldn't be down to you. So, yeah, there's a lot of benefits if it's done right. But I do just mainly fear that it will be used for invasion purposes.
Hmm. I fear as well, I fear. I fear.
Government.
And just feedback from our listeners, they do agree with the points that we've just raised.
Wow, cool.
Yeah.
Hi, listeners.
Hello.
Glad to have you on board.
Definitely. And just to say as well, on the touching upon the advertising points, I don't know if you know, but they're actually starting to advertise in games, within games. Whereas, you know, you're playing in a game, you walk to a certain part of the building and you see a Pepsi ad, or you see something else, which is fucking evil. I can understand within the game, you're between loading screens or something like that, you're being shown an advert for another game that has kind of been injected through the years, and it's kind of okay. But while you're in the game, you don't want to be, you know, are you thirsty? Drink some of this. It will make you run faster. Do you know what I mean? And, you know, kids from a young age are going to be shown this kind of stuff. It's going to be acceptable very, very quickly. That's the problem when people accept this shit. I don't accept billboards outside, you know, my road. Why should there be a billboard there? You know, who says, I want to see this stuff? You know, it should be, you know, somebody should be able to vote on where these things are. But you can't.
Quite a while back, when they first started to do decent Formula One kind of racing games.
Yeah.
This is like on the Amiga.
Mm.
In order to make them authentic, or at least that's what they told us at the time, the things at the side of the track were actual genuine adverts that they would have on that track.
Yeah.
You know, same with the football games. Once they started getting into the FIFA ones,
yeah,
they were saying, yeah, this is for, you know, just realism, really. There's a Puma advert there.
Exactly.
Something other advert there. But that's because if you actually go to that stadium, that's what you'll see.
Yeah.
It's just to make it more
realistic.
Realistic, make you believe that you are actually playing there.
Definitely.
They kind of snuck it in that way to begin with, and it's like, oh yeah, yeah, that's pretty cool. But you don't realise it's all going in your head, and it's all registering there. And eventually you're going to start getting Puma, cornflakes, must buy this brand of cornflakes, not that one, because this one's been burnt into the back of my mind subconsciously.
Sure.
You know, if someone says something to you over and over and over and over again,
you're going
to
believe it's true.
It'll sink in.
Yeah.
You know, on some level, whether it's conscious or not.
Yeah.
And another thing with advertising the games, what they did, I don't know how long ago it was now, because I've not played it for a while, but it's EverQuest 2. And one of the features they added to that was if you type in /pizza,
right,
PIZZA, it would bring up a web browser that would take you to Pizza Hut,
right,
where you can order a pizza there and then.
Wow.
And they were saying this whole thing about, you know, are you being interrupted on your gaming because you're hungry? Well, now we've just made it easier for you to keep gaming at
Fuck.
The same time.
Oh my God.
People who sit at the computer,
yeah,
hour on hour of EverQuest, the last thing they need is easier access to pizza.
Exactly. You're just going to sit there for hours eating.
Year on it. Yeah.
Do you would like pause it, get the pizza, come back, play. And then you would maybe take a shit. But while, you know, now with the advent of home entertainment systems where you'll have a fucking computer in every room, you can transfer your game to the toilet and play and order more pizza, which is, I don't know, I kind of like that idea.
If you did have faster PCs and you set up some kind of server,
yeah,
in your house, and then set your VNC'd into it, maybe a workstation,
yeah,
it's fast enough to do that.
Yeah.
Then that'd be fucking crazy.
I know. But
I'm going in the other room.
I want
my game in there.
Yeah. I don't know, I kind of think that's kinda sexy, but in some ways you don't wanna be inviting advertising into your house. You've already got a TV.
Yeah.
That's enough. And I can't remember the last time I sat there and actually listened to radio, the real radio. Actually, I won't call it the real radio. I call it, let's say,
local
broadcast radio, licensed local broadcast radio, maybe that's a better word for it. And it's just full of fucking advertising. Every minute they cut the song, advertise, back to the intro, back to the people speaking, advertise, song, advert, song, people. It's just madness.
You get it a lot down there in London.
Yeah, but the thing is, I'm pretty sure that these companies have enough money to say, no, we won't advertise. What's the point? That's why I think they should either open up broadcasting to people with now the advent of satellite radio and digital radio, where you're not limited to like 95 to 104 megahertz, which is just kind of the standard range of FM, of like decent fucking signal. You now got much, much more broader range where you can fit 1,000 stations into like one spectrum, and you can have another 100 spectrums of that, which is great. And obviously a little bit more into the digital radio, onto the satellite radio is good. And there are actually, I've been researching some kind of homemade satellite radio stations, and it's good stuff, and it might be something we might even look into further if we get the money to do so. But if they did that, I think it'd be good. But corporations would not like that. Because, you know, it goes against their morals to have people talking about their stuff, talking bad about their stuff. They don't want that kind of stuff because they lose money.
Yeah. Free speech equals low profits.
Yeah, exactly.
I think.
Yeah, that's going on my signature.
Your signature must be the size of the Yellow Pages.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's definitely a slippery slope. I don't know. How do you feel things are going to be moving in the next few years?
Mostly just all online.
Yeah.
TV, radio, which is what we're seeing at the minute, and it's what we're doing here. And there are a lot of radio stations that are done very, very simply, that talk about quite a specific topic, whether it's hacking or phishing or Australian rules football.
Sure.
But it's done by enthusiasts who want to talk about it.
Exactly.
Put the hours in.
Sure.
Getting paid.
Yeah.
And who will gladly spend the free time researching it and trying to make it better. Now, that's got to be a good thing, that someone turning up, getting the pay back in, doing the job.
Definitely.
You know?
Yeah.
I think as bandwidth increases, which it is all the time, and technology becomes cheaper, such as digital cameras.
Yeah.
This is something we're seeing in the hacking scene.
Definitely.
Little TV episodes will
increase. Yeah.
Yeah, they'll go through the roof. Absolutely.
We are seeing that happening now in the hacking community, where radio has expanded so much that you've got such a broad flavour of radio station out there. And I've heard lots of negative comments today about the amount of radio stations that are being set up by people. And I'm totally against that view. I like the fact that people can express their views and are free to do so. And shit, if you don't like it, don't listen to it. Turn off, click off, go somewhere else. It's not a problem. It's like, why should you be so negative as to say, right, this show will only be pushed and that show won't because it's, you know, a piece of crap in your opinion. Whereas I listen to Squizzy Radio and all they talk about is like, you know, sometimes pissing on shit and shitting on piss and farting, different ways of farting, different ways of farting on things, what happens when you fart too much. Yeah, it's a breath of fresh air. It definitely is a breath of fresh air.
Doesn't sound that fresh.
It doesn't sound very fresh, but why would somebody want to block that? You know, the whole point of the internet is that you can express your view, and now we're seeing blogs pop up everywhere, fuck's sake, you know, sometimes good, sometimes bad, but then you've always got that opinion of just closing the fucking window and not watching it. Whereas
I don't think a big amount of choice is a bad thing at all.
No, exactly.
So many good projects that have been shut down when they've been done through the traditional media outlets.
Mm.
That's good TV shows, good radio shows, good presenters,
yeah,
things like that. And they just treat it strictly on the listening or viewing figures and say, look, this is what you've got.
Yeah.
We wanted this. It's not enough. You're cancelled.
Sure.
Tough shit. Now there's a wealth of up-and-coming media out there that, if you want it, you can get it. It costs you nothing. You know?
Yeah, and it is.
If it's shit, turn off.
If it's not making us enough money, then, you know, they're going to cut it.
Yeah.
And that's something that was happening with Friends. You know, they were pushing Friends so much, and I think it was like running out of ideas. And every episode seemed to be the same as the old episode. And I guess, you know, they thought, fuck it, we're going to have to cut this show because we've run out of ideas. It's not selling enough. We've done every joke possible. So we've cut it. And
the work on that was definitely going down towards the end.
Exactly.
You know,
yeah.
Major. Oh, we're back together. Oh, we've split up. Yeah. Oh, we're back together. I love you too. Oh, we've split up.
Yeah.
Oh, let's get back together. No, we can't.
Yeah, exactly.
There's only so many times you can do that. I think there's also the amount of fucking money they were getting paid the actors as well. I think they were selling it a lot and they were making shitloads of money on it.
Yeah.
But what they could have done is just carried on until the money ran out, just drove it straight into the ground. I think it went on a bit too long, but it could have been worse. I expected it to be a lot worse.
And same goes for other shows like Simpsons.
How many years has The Simpsons been going?
I don't know. I think it was like sometime before I was born or something.
It probably was.
Yeah.
You know, I remember that was the reason you bought Sky TV, to watch The Simpsons on Sky One. That was their killer application for selling it. And it has really gone downhill. I've just stopped giving it a toss. Occasionally, there's moments of fucking genius in there, which mainly comes out of whoever writes for Homer.
Mm.
Just because he is a very simple character, and he just has to go, "Oh, I'm beer, boobs."
Oh, I've just fallen over, and that gets a laugh.
Oh, I'll always get one from me. Yeah. It has gone down a lot.
Yeah, but the thing is, I don't know if you were watching, if you ever got a chance to see Tripping the Rift. If you ever heard of that. It was showing Cartoon Network, and then it kind of got cut. No, actually, first, it started as a one-off internet kind of thing that just, you know, went across the peer-to-peer network. Somebody kind of loved it. And then they thought, right, this is good. An actual bloody company bought it off, and they said, right, you have to do it properly now. And they did a few episodes. But because it started off on peer-to-peer, it stuck on peer-to-peer, which means they didn't make much money out of it, and people didn't buy anything. So I don't think they liked that too much, and now it's been cut, which is a shame, because it was hilarious. It was the funniest thing I've ever seen.
The quality was still good, though, yeah?
The quality was, like, better with every episode. It was, like, getting funnier and funnier. As for the animation, yeah, of course, because they invested a fuckload of money into it. The quality of the digital animation was good, but it's a shame they cut it, because I would have kept something like that going for a while. Obviously, they won't do that because it's not making any money.
Well, obviously, if it's not profitable, then they won't. The thing that pisses me off is when it's only slightly profitable, or, you know, you are making more money than you're spending on the project. You're keeping people at work, and you're doing a good show that stands up on quality. But you're not making mega bucks out of it. Then it's still cancelled. That really gets on my fucking tits.
Sure.
Frankly, because it's just all about margins.
And, yeah.
Account books, and hitting your targets, and all this sales kind of crap talk. If something's not profitable, then, you know, you're going to run your company into the ground supporting it.
Yeah.
You don't want to do that. Fair enough. But when you're making some money, but it's not what you'd hoped, it's just fucking
exactly. And we're losing more money doing this than we are making it. In fact, we're not actually making any money. And we're still doing it. And we've been doing it for God knows how long now.
We've been pushing out
every night sort of thing as much as we can. And why do we do it? I think it's because we love what we do. And
it's all about the love.
It's all about the love. If you don't have the love for it, then there's not much point.
Yeah, why get out of fucking bed?
Sure, exactly. Why get it up and why get up? But on that point, that's, you know, getting back to too many radio shows, I think that's good, and I want to see more stuff like that coming out, because it's, I think, a year in the past of Bin Rev, you saw it more kind of compact into a few people doing a few things. And it was pushed towards, you know, the Bin Rev Radio and Default Radio and all that kind of stuff. And then it just opened up as other people got the confidence to start their own radio shows. And some started, some died. And now it's just kind of gone out of control. Everybody's taking to it. Everybody's picking up the camera, picking up the microphone, and doing their own thing. And that's great, because you're spreading the virus. It's all about spreading the virus.
Got to be a fucking great thing where anyone, and this was the original thing about the internet, was that anyone can go on there,
get
access to information, and express their views without any kind of clamp down or censorship or anything like that. Now it's gone on to another level. Whereas before it was text and posting on websites and putting on web pages and things. Now it's going into audio. Gone into audio. It's starting to go into video. That will just grow. Even something that's spread quite a lot is fan films.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've seen any of these, but people are doing quite a few Star Wars ones.
Mm.
Where they just get a couple of cloaks,
yeah,
piss about in the woods for a
exactly.
bit with sticks, and then put the lightsaber effects on that.
Yeah. I have to say, I've seen some really good ones, and I've done a few of my own. Actually, I've done one of my own, which is up on my website, frostyproductions.com.
You weren't a Star Wars kid, were you?
No.
That poor fucker.
Yeah, and that's...
Oh, mate.
That's spread.
That's kind of the downside of it all. With how quickly word can spread, and
yeah.
how open this is.
Yeah.
Is that if you do film yourself being an arse, yeah. and someone gets hold of a copy of it, pretty much everyone in the world can now have access to that. So
yeah,
don't
definitely.
Film yourself doing anything you don't want the entire world to see.
Exactly. But I don't even think he knew that was going to spread.
No, he couldn't have had any idea
yeah.
how mad that was going
to
get.
Apart from the Numa Numa guy, I'm sure he wanted that to spread.
Who was that guy then?
You know, the
I
song...
I must have missed that. I must have had that day off.
Yeah, he must have had that day off. It's just some thing that this guy recorded himself singing a song and then... Somebody else did it, and then somebody else did it in a cartoon form of him taking the piss out of him, and then, like, there was this, like, huge, like, 10 meg video of other people doing it at the same time, and it just kind of flew around the internet, which is great. I love seeing those kind of things take off.
Really is viral marketing when things go across like that. That's something
yeah.
that's trying to be exploited by the companies now. I think... One of the first examples of it was the Blair Witch Project.
Yeah.
Which, as you know, is done on a very small budget.
Oh, yeah.
It was put on the internet either intentionally or unintentionally, I think, intentionally.
Definitely intentionally, yeah.
People got hold of it, and they get the feedback. They told their friends. They said, you know, there's this thing on the internet. You should see it. It's really cool.
Yeah.
It's not like a normal film. It's kind of shot on video camera. It's pretty fucking scary because of that. You know, it's
yeah.
a bit more believable, and you should check it out. So... That was just free marketing.
Yeah.
You couldn't buy people going around
exactly.
telling all their friends, check this out, I'll do you a copy, right, have a look at it. And then when they do a cinema release, pretty much the whole world has heard of it.
Mm-hmm.
Even people who have not seen it are queuing up to bloody see it. And it has become kind of a phenomenon.
Yeah.
Now, when the BBC did the new Doctor Who this year, the first episode of that was released onto the internet.
Yeah.
Now, it was meant to be leaked. I'm pretty sure it wasn't. Someone got the sack for it, as the story goes.
Mm.
But that created a mass media fucking circus about this whole new series.
Right.
You know, they'd been putting out the news in sci-fi kind of magazines and things like that, and all the people who wanted to know about it didn't know about it.
Yeah.
And they knew when it was going to air, and they were really looking forward to it.
Sure.
But because it got leaked, people... watched it, they started reviewing it.
Yeah.
They said mostly 90-odd% positive things about it.
Yeah.
And, you know, word spread. And then when it did broadcast, again, pretty much everyone had heard about it in some form or another. And if they hadn't seen it, they tuned in.
Mm.
You know, and I saw it early by accident. and I tuned in. And, you know, they say that downloading's a bad thing. But
yeah.
I've tuned into every bloody episode. I also
definitely.
Downloaded them, and I'll be buying the box set when it comes out this November. I mean, what more can I do to support the people who made this? They've made a quality product. I love it.
Yeah.
I want to give them some money and
definitely.
Say thank you.
Yeah. This is this is exactly what we were talking about
last night
on our last night's radio show. Is if you've downloaded something and you really like it. Why not go out and buy it and support it? But also, I want to touch upon what actually happens in the recording industry and the fact that the artist doesn't actually lose out because he gets paid anyway, no matter how much he sells. It's the corporations that buy the license of that and then they distribute it to the retailers, which is like HMV and all that kind of bollocks. And then they buy the copies, however many X amount of copies they buy, they have to sell. So it's actually the corporations that lose out if you don't buy it, and obviously it's the corporations that are kicking up a fuss.
Yeah.
Do you see what I mean? Because once you've done what you've done, you know, you've recorded your song, your label pushes it through, you get paid however many millions for that, it gets licensed, it gets distributed, and then it gets sold. But during that time, a lot of money is exchanged for however many copies each retail store wants to buy. But they've already bought it, do you see what I mean? They've already lost out on the money by just buying the CD, so they have to sell it, they have to push it as hard as they can.
Yeah, yeah.
And because not a lot of people are buying it, because they've already downloaded it, they've already heard it, probably like on the day zero of it being released, they've lost the money. And that's why it's such a fuss.
Well, one thing that really pissed me off was when Napster got shut down by all these big corporations.
Yeah, that was quite a while back, yeah.
That was a long, long time ago now, in technology terms, you know, which is kind of like dog years.
Exactly.
Now, what they did was, instead of researching the way the world is going and what their customers actually want and how they want access to the product, they just decided, no, we'll shut it down. Fuck them.
And you know, what happened?
This for free. Well,
what happened a few years
ago? Yeah. And then it got reopened up as
a legitimate company, yeah.
And then Apple released their iTunes thing, selling songs dead cheap. If you just want this song, this album,
20p.
Download an MP3 for however
much
it was. I think it was 99p over it.
Yeah.
Which works out about all right. I think it's still a bit pricey, really.
Yeah, definitely.
But it is giving people what they want. They don't have to buy the entire album. You know, if they just want that song, they can buy that song.
Mm.
And then the money is going to the people who put the investment in the artist.
It's going straight back to the artist,
distributors and the, you know, all those guys.
Yeah.
But there's such an old-fashioned way of looking at how you do business. And no, we can't do it this way, it'll never work, we don't want to think about it. We'll just keep shipping them out this way and we'll fuck off anyone who tries to mess with us.
Exactly.
Know? Why not just ask your customers what they want, how they want to access your product, and then give it to them?
Yeah.
I think iTunes is doing fucking shitloads of business. They've just opened a place in Japan to do it over there as well.
Yeah, that's
true. It's
coming
in hand over fist.
Yeah.
It's one of the big things, I think. Ringtones and MP3 downloads are like two of the big money makers at the minute.
Definitely. And I remember when you could get ringtones for free, and you just do it. And it was free, you get the ringtone, you're away. It probably wasn't a very good ringtone. But somebody along the line thought, wait a second, if all these kids are getting ringtones and they're getting them for free, why not charge them a little? So they did. And it didn't work. And then somebody else thought, right, this is good, I can make it work better. And they fucking pushed it so much that now you can't get away from these fucking ringtones.
Especially the adverts.
Yeah, exactly. Like, every few seconds it will be up. And I don't know for how many people have satellite TV or cable or something like that. It is literally every second, and they repeat it again and again, and it just drives me fucking insane that I just want to kill whatever is, like, kill the fucking frog, man. That frog pisses me off so much.
I changed the channel.
Yeah.
You know, even if I'm halfway through watching a really good TV program, that fucking advert for Frog comes on. Thank God it's not on anymore.
Yeah.
I'd change the channel, and normally I'd flick through the channels and find something else and get interested in that and forget about what I was watching before.
Because
I don't want to support any TV station that's showing that shit.
Exactly.
It's fucking terrible. It only works as advertising because it irritates so many
people. The fuck
people.
Out of you, yeah.
So they're talking about it.
Yeah.
And again, it's kind of a free viral marketing thing.
Exactly.
It's what we're doing now. We hate it.
Yeah.
You know, but we're
and we're talking about it. So
advertising
the bastard.
Exactly.
Sure.
You know?
It's fucking horrible. But also, on the lines of that, you can still get them for free if you really wanted to. And
yeah. A lot of mobile phones these days play MP3s.
Yeah, you just download it onto your phone and off you go. But, you know, but the thing is, they market it so much to the younger generation. They've even, like, released a hip-hop song or some bullshit about the frog. And, you know, it's like draining children from all intellectual food, if I can call it that, at such a young age that they're just, like, you know, right, I'm not going to answer any questions. I'm not going to ask any questions. I'm just going to accept what these people tell me because, you know, they give me this beautiful ringtone music to go along with. And
this is the cool thing. Exactly. I have to have it.
And morals are being reduced, like, you know, year by year, generation by generation, kids are growing up faster. Maybe, you know, I'm just reached an age where I look back and go, fuck, the kids of these days, when I was the kids of those days, if you know what I mean, back in that time.
Welcome to my world, man.
Yeah, but the thing is, it is like that, and it's, and you can see how it's being pushed so much into, you know, through the food, through the technology and information that they're taught in school. You know, if you, let's say I was lucky that I grew up in the time that I did to be able to ask the questions I wanted to ask. Now, if I was in the classroom and wanted to know, you know, how something worked, I wouldn't ever get the chance to be answered because the teachers don't have enough time. They have to push that syllabus, and that syllabus is driven to teach these children a certain thing, and that's lies and bullshit. And I've experienced that myself.
And they often won't deviate from it again, like say, because of time.
Exactly.
They are absolutely getting shit off the teachers with the amount of things they're meant to be doing.
Sure.
And a lot of the time in their free time, or what's meant to be their free time with the marketing and this and preparing the classrooms and stuff like that, that they just haven't got the time to handle the off-topic kind of questions.
Mm.
It's just, learn this, it'll be on the exam.
Yeah.
Learn this, write a paper on this. Right, carry on.
Yeah, it's exactly that. And, you know, it's like, learn it. This is how it should be answered.
Yeah,
and
no
you
questions.
Will get the mark. And I always thought that you would have to take what you've learned and express it in your own words. But I soon figured out that the way to actually fuck the system is to learn how they want you to answer the question. And once I thought that, I had a brainwave. I thought, shit, this is what you're feeding these children. And it's the wrong thing because should it not be how they see it? How do you judge somebody by their intellect on how they're supposed to answer something or how they think something should be answered? Do you see what I mean?
Yeah, support them to ask questions, to think in different directions, and think outside the box, if I can just drop in a terrible phrase.
Yeah.
Marketing and whatnot. I can't see how that's a bad thing, even if you're not right.
Mm.
At least if you're willing to say, well, hang on, no, I thought this was because of this and this guy did this.
And you learn from your mistakes.
You know, you're wrong, At least then you know. You go, all right, it does make sense. So,
exactly.
Cool. But not just sit there and go, this happened in 1932.
Yeah.
This then led to this happening in 1935.
Exactly.
What? Fucking hell.
And that's why I was asleep through most of everything I did at school.
I slept through my school days. Yeah. They were wonderful.
Exactly. If I wasn't in the computer room, I'd probably be asleep. And I spent most of my time there.
That was actually, it was same with me, one of the few areas where you could ask questions.
Yeah.
And because computing, it's not black and white.
Exactly.
It's not, this has happened, that causes that. A lot of it is logic. If you've got a problem, and then you work backwards, and you figure out what's fucked up, and then you work towards a solution.
Definitely.
But there's so many things that can be done, you know, that the machines and the programs weren't built to do, that it's like, well, could you do this? Ah,
sure.
Well, in theory, but no, they've put this thing in the program here. Well, hang on, you can get around that. Yeah, let's try it. And that's a lot of what we were doing at, when I was at school in IT. We had one very cool teacher who actually got the sack for being too cool. Because he walked in on the first day, he goes, morning class, pulls a machine out off the wall, rips all the cables out the back of it.
Fix it.
Before then, we were always taught, don't touch the computers, just do what you're meant to do.
Yeah.
You know, do what we tell you. And this guy walks in, rips all the cables out, pulls a screwdriver out of his pocket, takes a case off and goes, right, lesson one, that's the CPU, that's the motherboard, that's what a hard disk looks like, that's the memory, these are the IDE cables, let's pull those out, exactly. There's a CD drive, cool.
That's great
now,
stuff.
Any questions?
That's exactly what, I mean, we had a presentation in school, the same thing, it's like, I just ripped open a hard disk and stuck it on the wall, and this is how it works, this is, you know, the reader, this is the hand, and that's how it spins, and all that crap, and these are the layers, and, you know, if you do this to it, and that to it, it will fuck up, and...
if you take it to bits and put it on the wall, it'll fuck up.
Yeah, and it probably won't work again. We're being told that we swear too much, and also...
I do. Sorry.
And our good old friend Scobie is also listening to us.
Scobie, mate!
Yeah, how's it going? I don't think he's tuned in right now, but he should be soon. Oh, he has. Yeah, he has. So, good morning, wherever you are.
Good morning, Mr. Scobie in
and,
New York.
And good afternoon from here.
Yeah. What are they, 5-6 hours behind on the East Coast?
God knows.
Something like that. I should really know this, because I'm headed off to New York next week, next Monday.
Next Monday? Cool.
Next
stuff,
Monday, baby, that's when I fly out. And good I was stuff. Just reading the little book I've got about New York on the crapper.
Right.
Now, in the back here, it's got some handy phrases that you might need to know if you're talking to a New Yorker.
Oh, really?
Now, some of the classics here are smokes. They mean cigarettes.
Oh, really?
I wouldn't have figured that one out.
No, fucking no.
What else have we got? Crosstown bus.
What the
That's
fuck?
That's an east to west bus.
Oh, right.
Ooh. And the rest of it is kind of written in gang speak. So, apparently, the New York word for the mayor is his honor.
Right.
There's no spaces in there, it's spelt with Z's, it's H-I-Z-Z-O-N-E-R. I sat there reading that, thinking, his honor.
Ah.
And
interesting.
Refrigerator is icebox.
Oh, cool.
So there you go. We're not just here to talk about bollocks, we're here to educate as well.
Cool.
God damn it. I did book the place I'm going to be staying in New York today, which... looks like a bit of a dive.
Yeah.
I can't really afford anything better. So I'm going to head over there. It's got a good central location. I have no idea what to expect
from
New York. Just, I've never been there.
Just to cut you there, Scobie says 5 hours, actually, difference.
5 hours.
Five hours difference.
So that's 3 p.m. for Scobie and the East Coast crew.
Yeah, wicked.
What's up? Shout going out.
Yeah, shouts. And actually, we might get him live on air. He might jump in, and we'll bridge the call, hopefully, pretty soon.
Hopefully, I'll be able to hear him, because the last three-way test we did...
Yeah, it really did mess things up, but
I think
we're good stuff. Something's just fallen down, I don't know what, but everything seems to be okay so far, so I'll just ignore it. And this is live. So, how do you think you... Yeah, you said you might be recording the 2600 there.
I've got to double-check the dates.
Yeah.
I fly back either on the 2nd or the 3rd.
Right.
I believe the 2nd is Friday, 2nd of September.
Mm.
If it is, and if I fly back on the 3rd, then that should be the first Friday of the month, and I think that's when they have the 2600 meeting. Honestly, we'll have to double-check the facts on this because I've not done it so far. There doesn't seem to be an official New York 2600 page.
Right.
So that's why...
Strange.
I know very little. Yeah. It's a big place and a lot of people there.
Yeah. It would be surprising to, you know, not have, like, more than one meeting 2600. Check the Binary forums for something like that. I'm sure
I'll
that
have to
they're...
do a search or something. I think actually Scobie put a mail on there saying... he was trying to head for it, and is there anyone in the area that wants to meet up and stuff like that, and he got a lot of replies, so I think there is a big active 2600 hacking kind of community out there.
Definitely.
I just don't know where they are.
Much bigger than here in the UK.
Yes,
but
as always.
Yeah, but that's what we're trying to change, and I do believe we have started the ball rolling on the 2600 meeting in London.
Yeah,
And
putting the word around.
Definitely, and it should be good to see what happens next month. So, you still going to be broadcasting as far till your holiday goes, or?
Yeah, that's the plan.
Are you pushed for time, or?
I'm absolutely dead for time. I mean, I am in serious trouble. I didn't book the hotel until today, and I fly Monday, next Tuesday. Typical, leaving everything to last minute.
Yeah, definitely.
I thought it was ages away until I got into work yesterday, and I looked at the phone, the digital display on the office phone, and it says 8th of August. I thought, well, that can't be right, because that means I go in a week.
Yeah.
And then I double-checked the computer one. It's like, oh, crap, yeah.
It is 8th of August.
Oh, man, shit.
Yeah.
I have nowhere to stay yet. I've not washed my clothes.
No.
I've not found my suitcase.
Yeah.
Oh, crap. So today I was doing quite a bit of skiving, printing off the things for the hotel and the flight confirmation and all that kind of shit. I've got a load of washing on at the minute. Big puff that I am, doing housework and whatnot.
Doing all your ironing.
I don't know if I'll iron it, to be honest.
Fuck it, just roll it up and hope for the best.
You get more t-shirts.
Exactly. Ah, well, best of luck to you, man, and hope till then we'll have some good shows. And while you're away, I'll be pushing it by myself, hopefully with anyone else that jumps in.
The plan is obviously to carry on as we're going, keep broadcasting until I go.
Yeah,
I will be taking some gear with me.
Cool.
So if I can find somewhere to plug in over there in New York, and then we should be able to do some kind of show. Because 5 hours, that's fuck all.
Yeah.
I'll be just getting out of bed about this time.
Yeah.
Just in time for the show.
Yeah.
Should be cool.
Cool shit.
It's got to be worth a shot anyway.
Definitely. And I'm just going to ping Scoby, see what's up.
Alrighty.
Just to see if he wants to jump on. I know he's listening to us, I think. So it'll be fun to get someone on the show that's been here from the beginning.
Day zero,
yeah. Pretty much. It was really strange how we started.
Yeah, bit of a fluke, really, wasn't it?
Yeah.
What did happen for the listeners while Bill I was just trying to bridge the call there?
Yeah.
Was when Stank Dog left Bindrev.
Stank Dog.
Stank Dog. I was a bit upset by it, to be honest. I really missed the guy.
Yeah.
He did a fantastic quality radio show for a long time. So I really started looking into the other areas of Binrev that I'd kind of ignored before. So I started going in the IRC channel, see if any guys in there knew what was up, you know, what was going on. Had anyone pissed him off or, you know, why was he unplugging?
Yeah.
And it was there, on, I think, the first time I ever logged in, I met Belial and Scoby.
Yeah.
And I said something about RAM used to cost £300 for 8 meg.
And I was like, you from the UK?
And they both realised, because I said pounds instead of dollars, that I must be from the UK. So we got talking, and
I said, join my channel.
Ideas and thoughts. And it became pretty obvious that all three of us would like to do a UK-based radio station along a similar kind of thing. Now, this is kind of hacking when we can get to it, issues about the UK, and a lot of off-topic stuff. But the real inspiration behind this was what Stank did with Binrev Radio, showing everyone that it is possible and easy, really.
Yeah, well...
not easy to do it on his level.
Yeah.
He made it look easy.
Very, very easy.
Very true.
He was very professional.
He actually put in a lot of preparation behind the scenes that we really should be doing, but... I kind of don't have the time. I don't think you have either.
Not as yet.
We're kind of going with what we've got, and it'll evolve. I'm sure it'll get better.
Definitely.
The audio equipment's already getting better. There's some investment on both sides there. So
yeah,
it's going good.
Sure. I mean, I think people didn't realise how much effort he did actually put into
the research and the show notes and the production and even just getting the tunes. You know, you got in touch with Zerv to get the initial one, the opening music, and then every single show ended with a different tune, which I believe were all done on the Creative Commons license.
Were they?
You know, so I think so. Yeah, I never heard anything
commercially
copyrighted on there.
True. Yeah, that's
so
right.
So I think
it
was all up and coming bands who wanted to share the music or wanted to share an album.
Yeah.
And so it was all kind of cleared.
Good stuff.
Copyright free. Yeah.
Which is what we don't. We're not really doing because
we're not. Yeah.
No.
We might want to.
Maybe.
You know,
later on.
Otherwise, we'll get thrown in jail.
Possibly.
thrown in the special Sony jail.
Yeah.
And the only visit you get is from George Michael.
Selling
he's on
you
Viagra.
Yeah. On Viagra and acid. Bump up some love.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, I mean, it's... it's good stuff, and I hope this goes well. But I can't see Scope. B is should be online, but he's not showing up on my list.
Weird.
Yeah. So what
he
I'll do?
He might be in some net cafe or something.
He is. Yeah. What I'll do is I'll try and give him a call, and if everything dies, then I'm sorry, but I'll just give it a go on air. And it's calling. Just have to wait for this to connect. Here we go. Hello. Can you hear me? Hello. Can we hear each other? Scobie? I don't actually think we can hear him, and I don't think he can hear us.
Right, I can't hear Scobie, no. He's showing up on the Skype conference,
but
not getting
he can hear us, but we can't hear him, which means that there's something wrong with his microphone. Wait, was that? No, that's just a ghost.
I thought I heard something there.
Yeah.
I didn't know if it was just an echo or...
It could just be reverb.
Yeah.
Never mind.
I can hear something.
Yeah.
I think it's saying, can you hear me? But I can only just hear. Hello, we can hear you, but only just.
Yeah.
Very quiet.
Turn up your levels. He's trying to talk to me. It's all maxed up.
All maxed up?
Yeah. Oh dear. That's a shame. I'm going to have to hang up on him. I said I'm going to have to hang up on him, so might try it again.
All right, mate, give it a shot.
Cool. Hello, can you hear us now?
Yeah.
Oh, cool, we can hear you. Okay, let me just bridge you in. Okay, he's bridged in. You're very, very quiet.
I can just hear you, mate.
Yeah, just barely. Yep. No, very, very, very quiet. It's kind of the same, isn't it?
Yeah, pretty much the same there, mate. That was New York, anyway.
Hot.
Yeah, it's actually
Oh, yeah.
So I should only pack T-shirts, then?
Yeah, and shorts.
Cool. Do you need me to bring you over any iron brew, anything like that? Any supplies you Scottish people are running low on? Or are you all right, mate?
No, I'm good on
this. All right, already? How long have you been out there? It's been a while, a couple of weeks or so.
Yeah, 3 weeks.
3 weeks? Excellent. Right. What do you think of the place? So there's a danger of getting run over.
Okay.
No.
No? Okay, fine. So is there any chance of you coming back, or are you going to stay there, or don't you want to drop those docs online?
What
is that? I said, are you coming back, or are you going to stay there? What's happening?
I think something might be dropping out there.
Yeah, we'll close that call again. Sorry about that.
It's alright.
Yeah, he's just said to me it's very laggy, so we just have to kill that off. But it was good for a first attempt.
Yeah, it nearly worked.
Very nearly.
And that's better than the rest of our first attempts, you know, so.
Oh, well, good stuff.
This should be fun when I'm over there, going, no, can't hear you, no, what, hey, huh, what, say again, over.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just trying to see if I can call him on a number. Because that would work, wouldn't it? If I just Skype out?
Yeah, if you're using the Skype out, it should do.
Yeah. He sounded happy.
Yeah, he sounds cool.
Yeah, very quiet, but
yeah,
I'm sure he's enjoying himself.
Been there 3 weeks, so he must have seen all kinds of shit, haven't he? Hear all about the place because I'm going soon.
Yeah,
so.
Definitely. Looks like we won't be able to call him on a number. Never mind.
No number there? No?
Well. Cool. Well, it's back to me and you.
Hello.
Hello.
Well, thanks for trying to join us anyway, Scobie.
Yeah.
Always good to hear from you, mate.
Definitely.
I do owe you an email.
Yeah.
Basically, I'll just say it here. Basically, to wish you all the best, hope you're doing cool, and if ever you want to drop in with any content, any ideas, if you want to join us on the radio station, you're more than flipping welcome, mate.
Yeah,
so
definitely.
Please do, any old time, just give us a nod.
Cool. And I hope he is enjoying what we're doing, otherwise we'll be kind of disappointed.
Hope it's still kind of along the initial vision.
Yeah.
Of what we set out to do.
I do think it was mainly rooted towards quite a lot of content and pre-planning, whereas we've
that's very true. It's something that I think we do need to pick up a bit on.
Yeah, we kind of skipped and but never mind.
Kind of winging it at the moment.
Yeah, definitely. So what should we finish off with or talk about?
Pretty much all done on content. I think the main thing I wanted to bitch and shout and scream about was the tracking of people through their either license plate or their ID card or whatever crazy method they'll come up with next here in the UK, which I've done at great length and at much expense to my blood vessels.
Yeah.
So that's really just what I wanted to scream about,
sure.
Which I've done.
Yeah.
So anything that you want to get off your chest?
Microsoft Windows Vista.
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 What's have you had a go with it yet?
All about. No, I haven't had the pleasure of touching it.
I've
heard
tried.
That it's good fun. But I don't know. Is it going to work? How well does it work? And all that kind of stuff. I think these are issues we're going to be talking about further on down the line.
I think as soon as we can get our hands on a publicly released beta, then we'll have a go with it, try and break it, see what's going on.
Definitely.
And what kind of crazy stuff they're putting in there now.
Mm.
There is a lot of stuff out there already, thankfully. Word's getting around. And it's good that this early on in the development, it's only just gone to beta, that people are having a go at it, trying to break it, and then they can fix it, they can make it better.
Definitely.
You know, not just put in some crazy system that they assume will work and whatnot, and then someone will crack it.
Yeah.
And they'll say, oh, right, well, yeah, you're all fucked. Sorry about that. We force you to upgrade, and now you're buggered. So, thankfully, people are out there working on it already. I have tried to have a go with it. The first one that was released, because I'm actually legally part of, I'm a chum of Microsoft, one of their programs.
Cool.
And the first disc that they put out, or first ISO for download, it wasn't an install copy.
Right.
If I'm using it right. I think what you had to do was install it on top of a current operating system. So I've basically been trying to use it on a virtual machine. So I've had to set up a virtual machine on 2000.
Sounds
painful. And then try and get this thing on top of it. It's an absolute b-hatch because I just don't have enough memory and I don't have a sexy 64-bit processor that's water-cooled like you do. So it's an absolute pain and I've not got around to finishing it yet. That's why I don't know what I'm talking about.
Sure.
But hopefully I'll be able to put some research in. See if there's anything that's going to affect us.
Good stuff. I would really like to see what's happening with that, because it sounds interesting. It's definitely going to be moving into the realm of what's going to be happening, let's say, 2 years down the line, because I would say to anyone who's thinking of upgrading when it comes out next year, don't give it a while. But I think they're going to be, soon they're going to stop supporting XP, which is what they love to do. Every time something new comes out, you wait 2 years and they just stop fucking supporting it.
I think each product's got about a 5-year life cycle.
Yeah.
So they've just recently stopped working on 2000. I think they've done a final roll-up of the security patches. So they're kind of walking away from that the same way that they do with every operating system. So XP, I think, was the unofficial Windows 2002. So if Vista's in early beta now, XP might be kind of out of support by the time this is released.
Yeah.
Which would be a bit weird, you know? All of a sudden cancelling support for one thing and then pushing a new product.
Exactly.
I don't think they'd come off too well doing that. So maybe they'll expand the XP support and, you know, service packs and security roll-ups and so on and so forth.
Yeah.
Otherwise, they're just going to look like a bunch of greedy whores.
Which they are.
And who wants that?
Yeah, it looks like Scobie's volunteered himself to test a copy of Vista for us.
Top man.
And it'd be great. It'd be great if we can snap up a copy of that as well. I don't know if he's able to do that, but top man.
I would like to hear a Linux user's perspective on it, because someone was telling me a load of rumours they heard at the 2600 meeting. I don't know if they had anything to base it on, but they were saying that Vista's going to have a much improved command line interface.
Right, that's right.
They
didn't
go into detail. I said, cool, tell me more. And they said, well, this is just what I've heard.
Yeah.
So Scobie is a Linux user, and from what I understand, a very bloody good one. The man was talking about recompiling his kernel.
Yeah.
And just saying those words puts the fear of God into me. So it would be cool to hear what he thinks about it from that perspective. So yeah, please, mate, do it.
Yeah. He could recompile my kernel any day.
I'm sorry, that just sounds dirty.
Yeah. Yeah,
is there anything else we wanted to touch on apart from You touching other people's kernels and things.
I can't really think of a thing so far, so if you're happy with it, we might finish off.
Cool.
So
finish each other off.
Finish each other off.
You're listening to Filth Radio FM.
Yeah. Bringing you the filth
24/7. Coming in your ears.
Coming in your ears. Loud and clear.
That's Chorley FM.
Yeah.
Oh dear. Where the listener comes first. Yeah, let's wrap it up then.
Cool.
And, cool. Yeah.
Good episode.
Hopefully. Yep.
And,
enjoyed it.
Wicked. And we'll do one tomorrow.
Yep.
And
I'm
do one till you leave.
Good stuff.
Yeah. Keep the people happy.
Wouldn't they be happier if we just stopped? Shut up.
I don't know. Well, this will definitely be going live on stream as soon as we finish. And
cool.
Okay. I'm going to play some of that Illuminati tune to cut everything out, and we'll be back to our Skype conversation for more bullshit talk.
Oh yeah,
it was a good episode, and we'll see you tomorrow same time. I don't even know. We don't even have a set time, but let's say roughly in the evening.
Yeah,
we'll see
sometime
soon.
After work and before I have to feed my battlefield, which is getting worse. I'm going to have to go into rehab, honestly. So thanks for listening, everyone.
Yeah, thank you.
I hope you're all cool.
And
take care.
Thanks for Scoby for joining in.
Definitely, man.
And peace to everyone.
Take care.
Cool.